L-E-T-E-N-E-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Elbridge Colby, the author of the new book, The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. The great power of concern is China, the People's Republic of China. Aggressive, predatory, and non-transparent. What is the purpose of the U.S. strategy in this conflict, in any larger conflict here in the 21st century? Bridge, you make it very clear that the U.S. government must provide security, freedom, and prosperity. And in doing that, they construct a coalition in Asia or around the world against the hegemon or the potential hegemon of China. So in constructing that, is it appropriate for the U.S. to have other filters for other countries in the coalition? Must those other countries be secure, free, and prosperous? Must they be democracies?
No, actually, not at all. I mean, I think the goal of policy is to promote Americans' security, freedom, and prosperity, and that may require affiliating with countries that are not themselves Republican systems like ours. I mean, obviously, I think we all wish for other countries to be governed in a civilized and kind of liberal and Republican way. But that's not the goal of American foreign policy. And I really try to root my argument. You know, one of the things that I've been very frustrated by over the last generation, I would say, is that American foreign policy discussion has become very attenuated in its connection to concrete American interests. I mean, you know, we're talking here about a war with another superpower, the most powerful state to emerge in the international system, the United States itself, a war with which could be apocalyptic. And my own instincts tend towards the non-interventionist. I have not been a fan of the vast majority of military interventions in the last generation. But on the other hand, if we are going to have the kind of society that we aspire to have and have since the beginning of the Republic and in some ways even before, we need not only to be kind of physically secure from direct attack, which I think is relatively straightforward for the United States, both because of our oceans and our large military and nuclear forces, but also we need to be free and prosperous and determine our own fate. I mean, I think that's the kind of the point I make is it should be, you know, the purpose of our foreign policy should be to allow us to be strong, wealthy, and free enough to kind of, you know, I'm using an archaic term, but I mean, in the general sense, kind of manfully determine our own future. That is to say, and again, I don't mean any disrespect to women listeners, but just in the sense of that, you know, confidently and with a free and frank orientation, we can look to the future and determine our own fate. And we're not going to be able to do that if we're pinched sort of on our own shores and our economic future is determined abroad. And that's what I'm worried about is that China, which I have no hostility to China as such. In fact, the contrary, I'd probably inclined to the Sinophilic. But, you know, the reality is that it's a huge country, and it's betraying all of the evidences of how great powers tend to behave, which is arrogantly and assertively and with expansive ambition. And what they seem to be going for at a minimum is a regionally predominant position, which would allow them to essentially shape trade flows to their benefit, determine the rules of economic activity, economic security, and essentially Americans' jobs and freedoms and sense would be determined ultimately in Beijing. That is the plausible future, and we can already see how it's going out.
Quickly now, you make it very clear that the U.S. is no longer dominantly powerful, so that it needs to put together a coalition. And the filters for those coalitions, we've talked about democracy, not a filter, but the major filter is defensibility and cost and resolve. Those are the three majors. What is defensibility?
Defensibility is basically the ability to defend a country sufficient for it to hold on as a member of the coalition and essentially provide what it is that the coalition expects from it. So it's a little bit of it's a relative standard, but defensibility is not sort of objective in the sense that, you know, Great Britain in 1940 was able and willing to hold on despite being under, U-boat strangulation and a blitz attack, blitz campaign, right? But resolute enough, and their theory of victory was ultimately the other great powers would intervene on their side, and that was borne out. If a country has a very fragile, sort of strategic orientation or level of resolve, then it's essentially becomes much harder to defend. So what we're talking about here is if we can provide Taiwan or the Philippines or Japan with a level of defense sufficient to keep them on side and fighting back in the event of an attack and contributing their national power to the collective effort to check Chinese domination, then they're being defended. That actually might be a pretty nasty scenario in the midst of the conflict, but that's what defensibility is.
Is cost a concern for the coalition? How much it would cost us to keep the member in? We have about a minute here.
Absolutely, cost is because the critical thing that, given the importance of the United States in the anti-hegemonic coalition, cost, especially for Americans, is critical because our interests in Asia, while exceptionally important, are not existential. So we need to be able to correlate the costs Americans would run and risks Americans would incur and run by defending, say, Taiwan or the Philippines with a level of interest that's at stake. And that's critical. So we can't ask for too much sacrifice from the American people without a reasonable basis for it.
Very carefully, we are going to construct a coalition. And Bridge does in his book mentioning these states in particular, Australia, India, Taiwan, South Korea, Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Myanmar, New Zealand, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, all in or out of the coalition on the basis of defensibility, cost, and resolve.
We're going and power.
And power, thank you. And we're going to turn to the point of view of Beijing looking at this construction, this coalition that we're theoretically putting together now with the U.S. in the lead, knowing that in history coalitions have strengths and weaknesses, as Beijing knows. So what does, from Beijing's point of view, what does it look to weaken or undermine the coalition? The book is The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. Elbridge Colby is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.